thank you for the introduction, and I'm the last speaker, and I feel that I'm going to be beating a dead horse in the next 25 minutes, because the speakers previous me already told pretty much what I have to say, but let's do it. So, I started in Oklahoma State University as the Fouled Systems 2 years ago, and it didn't take like 1 week before I realized that cover crops are a hot topic in the state. Lots of questions about grazing cover crops from producers, and was pretty hard to answer those questions because it was difficult to find guidelines on grazing cover crops. So what I did so far is I talk with other scientists, I do my homework, and I try to understand how it works in Oklahoma, and also I start to do some research. So that's pretty much what I'm going to be showing today. So first, I would like to start describing the winter wheat production in Oklahoma. Well, most of our winter wheat is produced in the western and central western portion of the state. And, well, it's nothing new here, but the production really fluctuates with rainfall patterns. Wet years, we have good productions. Dry years, we have not that good production. And in the last year, the wheat price is decreasing. Something important to mention here is that, as you can see, the fluctuation of production is dependent on rainfall. So what we need is to build resilience to drought in the system. Now, in this slide, I am showing exactly again the wheat production in this map and our cattle herd in this other one. And as you can see, our cattle herd is increasing the last year. After we are rebuilding that, actually, from a dry period that we have in back in 2012, 2013. And the producers in our area, they have the flexibility of grazing the cover crop, grazing the wheat. In other words, they can shift the grain production to beef production by grazing if they wanna. As you can see, the herd is pretty much where our wheat is. So they already do that. And again, the wheat prices are coming down, the herd is increasing the state, so it's clear that in the next years they are going to start to graze more and more the wheat. And again, I think that I'm going very simplistic here, but just to be in the same page, I would like to describe the winter wheat system in Oklahoma. So that's the window from mid of September to beginning of October, the time that you are seeding the wheat. And then during fall, we have the vegetative growth, winter vernalization. Start of February, we have the winter wheat coming and doing some vegetative growth for like 10 days, and so comes the first hollow stem, the jointing. This variates in the state according to the latitude where we are at, and also specific to each year according what time the temperatures start to get warm. And after, let's say, mid-March, we have the grain filling time, and so by end of May, beginning of June, you have our harvest. And if the producers exactly do that, they are producing just the grain. But as I mentioned, they have some flexibility, and they can also graze. They can go for a dual purpose, where they're going to be producing grain and also grazing. And if they go for a dual purpose, they will be grazing from, let's say, the earliest that can happen is mid-October to like early February. Now, if they opt just for grazing the winter wheat, they can have as forage available as far as mid of May. Of course, is year dependent. Now, but every year, it's pretty common that you have a fallow during summer there. And most of the time, our summer is dry, and when the rain comes high intensity and in a short period of time, so we have lots of runoff. Also, winds are quite strong, so we have lots of soil erosion. So it's pretty clear that cover crops can really fit in this system exactly during summer. And what we are looking on a cover crop, what the benefits we are looking when introducing the winter wheat in Oklahoma? Well, in the short term, what we expect is wheat suppression, water conservation, weed erosion control, and also some any input if you are placing a legume there. Now, what would be the long-term benefits that we are looking? Well, I think that I don't need to discuss this here, right? Improve soil health for more productive soils. But if we could just pick one trait, one long-term benefit, on cover crops. The one that I would pick would be high soil water infiltration, high soil water storage. Why? Again, as I mentioned in the beginning, what we need is to increase the resilience to drought in the system. Now, some research efforts was already made on trying to fit the cover crop in the system, and one major concern is, are these cover crops affecting the yield of our wheat? That's the major concern to sell the idea to farmers. And Dr. Warren already had done research on different locations, and I'm just showing one here in Lahoma that is pretty much northwestern of the state. And here what I'm showing are 8 different mixes, and the last one, number 9, is just fertilization with fallow. And this, by simplicity, is just the average of the wheat yield after cover crop in 2 years. And no significant differences were found. And this is pretty much most of the case on those research that we have there. However, numerically, we can see that when we have cover crops that was dominated by grasses, in other words, we produce lots of residue, or numerically, the yields are lower. So please, I'm not saying here that the cover crops definitely decrease our yields. But the lesson that we are learning is that so far we didn't see any yield improvement by adding cover crop, but sometimes we can have some loss in yield. This is a picture that shows pretty much what we can see when the winter wheat is coming. Okay, here we are. So the first picture, cowpeas, you can see that the winter wheat is coming pretty well. Fallow also, but look when you have a grass mixture where the amount of residue that revealed was about 5.6 metric tons per hectare. The wheat is having a hard time coming up. Well, is this related to the germination or is this related to seeding with the problems of drilling the seed? We don't know, might be interaction of both of them, one of those factors. But the main point is, in some years, we are seeing those problems. Other issue was already addressed here for other speakers, and to me, that's the major issue, soil water use. We have two maps here, and I apologize for the inches, but the Maisonette just offered those nice and dandy graphs in inches, so I stick with them. The first one is the total potential evapotranspiration only during summer. PET during summer only. And the second one is the total rainfall with estimates. Okay, and those are average of 14 years. When you subtract the PET from the total rainfall of a year, and again, PET just during summer, in the western part of the state, it's negative. In other words, when you have a summer cover crop growing, we are using more water during summer than the water that is coming in whole year. And exactly in the western central part of the state, let's say that at least one third of the time it happens also. And this is troublesome because that's where our winter wheat is located at. So when we are placing our summer cover crops there, we might be actually in the short term decreasing the resilience to drought. That's exactly the opposite of what we want. But in my opinion, we know that in the long term, cover crops can give us lots of benefits. So in my opinion, it's not about giving up on cover crops, but trying to find strategies to keep them going and make that happen. This is data from Lahoma again, and I stick just with on one location to make that easy in our minds. And this is soil water content, okay, during the termination of those cover crops late summer. I don't want to have a huge discussion here on a bit among the mixes, but the black line is exactly the fallow, and the other are the mixes. And you can see here that we have more water in the soil when you have the fallow for the wheat that's going to be planted in the next weeks. Now, is this really going to decrease our wheat yield, germination and everything? Not all the time. This is soil water data from the same location, but that is in March 2013. That's pretty much during first hollow stem. Why we are taking soil water here? Well, first hollow stem, we are going to have the flag leaf coming pretty soon, and that's where most of our grain is going to be filled, right? So it's the most critical time for water. And look what happened there. Wow, in that time we really have water, right? Look, the fallow and the mixes looks like to be at the same page. Well, in this location, that happens because luckily the water came in the right time. So the water came during winter and replenish our soils. But if the water doesn't come, so what I'm trying to say here is when we are planting some cover crop solely during summer, it has a high cost, water. This is another study made by the Grazing Research Laboratory in El Reno, Oklahoma. And this is data from Brian Northup. He worked with a soybean and lab rotation with winter wheat. And also he compared with fallow, fertilizer, and not. And this is pretty much the available soil water, and that's the dynamics in 4 years. The squares and the line there is exactly the legume. You can see that in 4 years, we are depleting our soil water when we have a summer legume. But when we have fallow and fertilization only, the amount of water is quite stable. So that's again the problem, the major problem. We are decreasing the drought resilience of the system in the short term to build all that organic matter. So in my opinion, what needs to be done is we need to produce those cover crops, but exactly knock down the evapotranspiration of them during summer. As you can see here, and I took Oklahoma just for an example, but most of the locations are going to follow the same pattern. You can see that the evapotranspiration is pretty high during summer within the red square. And what would be the strategies exactly to knock down that potential evapotranspiration? Well, first, let's shift this cover crop, right? We can go spring or we can go fall. Remember when I show the graph with the winter wheat? If we're doing there that, we are going to be exactly putting the cover crops with the winter wheat, and producers might not be willing to do that because they want to produce their wheat, they want to have forage available, they want to produce grain. So we stick with the summer. In this case, or we use a very short cycle, low water demanding summer cover crop, and even we may graze them, exactly remove those leaves and decrease the evapotranspiration during summer. And thinking on the system, that makes sense. If we graze exactly during July, this coincides with the forage summer slump. Alfalfa yield and quality start to decrease. Bermuda grasses, lots of farmers rely on Bermuda grass pastures there. They start to decrease the amount of the yield and also the quality. So that fits pretty well. During that time, they are looking for alternative feedstocks. We can provide the cover crops as the feedstock for the animal. So it fits the system pretty well. But when you talk about grazing cover crop, I try to find the guidelines. So I found the conservation practice standard for cover crop. And that's a decade ago document. And a decade ago, one of the purposes of cover crops was provide supplemental forage. Wow. I could never imagine that one day they had that in their purpose. However, I look and try to find the guidelines. The guidelines are very vague. Graze it as long as sufficient biomass is left for resource protection. Well, how much graze is enough when we're going to be protecting our soil? That's not going right because producers are going to graze a lot. And what happened? In the reviewed document in 2014, they simply took supplemental forage out because what they want is more a conservation spin there. But they still say that you can, but you still, they still say that they can, we can grace, but it's not one of the purpose anymore. And in 2013, the Oklahoma NRCS office also come with, they call the Conservation Practice General Specification. And what is that? For the farmers meet the standard practice, they come with the guidelines for our state. And in 2014, that's pretty much what the guideline said. Grazing of the cover crop will maintain 90% surface cover and at least 4,000 pounds per acre of dry matter, about 4.5 metric tons per hectare. Wow, that's a lot of biomass. If the farmers are opting for a legume cover crop, you're never going to achieve all that biomass, so virtually you're not grazing. Well, if you go with a grass, yeah, we can produce 6, right? We can produce 7, but what's happening? Plants are getting high, quality's going low, it's being difficult for the cattle to graze, so virtually very difficult to graze cover crops in this condition. And I was in the job in 2016. And there we go, the update. And now they say, grazing of the cover crop will maintain a minimum of 2,000 pounds per acre, 2.25 metric tons per hectare during grazing. But when you before termination, you need to bring that up to 3,000 pounds per hectare, 3.35 metric tons per hectare. After I work with extension, I see how hard it is to work with both units. Oh my. So they make that a little more reliable. And when I saw that, I say, great. If they are changing, it's because they have information, they have data. And so I call Caleb, our agronomist and RCS in Stillwater. Say, Caleb, we need to talk. And I say, Caleb, where's the data? I mean, I really want to know better that to talk better with the producers about. And well, Alex, sit down a little bit and let's talk. Well, they didn't have replicated plots at all, but they did the best that they could in 2 years. They just have in-far demonstration plots where they have sorghum during summer rotating with the wheat for cover crop. And what they were doing is strip grazing the sorghum, and they just observed that if you keep about 2.25 metric tons per hectare, you still have 75% cover. They have some soil moisture probes there. So they say, we are getting good infiltration. We are keeping some water there. And the farmers might be willing to accept cover crops better if we adapt like that. So that was pretty much from where comes that information. And at the same time, he told Alex, we rely on you guys to come with research exactly to prove that, and or even to come with better recommendations. And this is just another picture of the trial. As you can see, they put electric fence and move the cattle every 2 days. And I drove down to Lubbock to talk with my former advisor, Chuck West, and we were in a coffee shop, and it was talk about the strip grazing, and I believe that like flash grazing, strip grazing would be the way to go. And he told, yes, Alex, I believe so. And by the way, remember those probes that you help us putting down in our bid all pastures? We get some data from. And I know, guys, I mean, I'm going too far, right? I'm talking about bid all there. What that has to do with cover crop? The only analogy here is an alive canopy growing during summer, all right, and evapotranspirating. So that's pretty much the analogy that I want to do here. And he say, when we hay those pastures, and that's pretty much the graph at the top, you can see that we really decrease the amount of water that we are putting to the atmosphere. Now, when you keep it in a light continuous grazing, the amount of water that we are losing is much higher. And that's pretty intuitive, right? We have less forage utilization in a light continuous grazing, trampling, leaves are being grazed, but at the same time, new ones are coming, and so the evapotranspiration quite decreases a little bit, but continues. Now, when we hay it, we cut it everything, and you have a shutdown for some period of time that we don't have any evapotranspiration, just some evaporation. And I speculate that when you do a strip grazing, a flash grazing, we might be closer to a hay pastured condition in water dynamics, because we are using, we have more forage utilization. So we are also decreasing drastically the amount of leaves, and after this we regrow if the rain comes. So that's pretty much what I think that the grazing could fit in this system, with more with a strip grazing than a light continuous grazing, where we graze pretty fast. And that's pretty much where I start with the work that I had been done in the last year and a half. This is a poster that my master's student, Kyle Horn, presented yesterday in the CO6 competition. And of course, I'm not going to repeat it, everything, because he already presented, but I'm just showing the efforts that we are doing here. What we are doing here, we are simulating grazing on the most the candidate cover crops, according to Jason Warren, the ones that the producers are willing to use nowadays. And we are doing those different cutting heights, simulated grazing, exactly to see how that will provide forage during summer, and also the quality of the forage, and calculate like the stocking rate to come with some directions. Also, the regrowth of these cover crops after that grazing. How much biomass are we producing, residue we are producing in the end? And also the species composition, how much that's coming up is real, the cover crop and the weeds. In other words, are those cover crops doing a good job on weed suppression? And finally, the effect on the winter yield, the winter wheat yield. Not only now the cover crop per se, but also with the interactions with those cuts. And the first year of data showed that there are some interactions, and we need to dig better the data with some linear regressions exactly to see the how that works. The second year was a little disappointing. I think that who is in Oklahoma know that was a very dry summer, so it was very difficult to produce the cover crops, but we are going for a third year. And finally, we have a PhD student, Gerginder Bath, in our department in collaboration with the Grazing Research Laboratory, Grazing Land Research Laboratory, El Reno. And this student already did a vast literature review on different cover crops that are short cycle, summer cover crops that are short cycle, and also can provide good quality with low water demand to see if that can be adapted, fit here in Oklahoma. And he already planted some of them in El Reno in different locations, soil types, and he already came with 1 year of data, and this will be repeated in the next years. And he presented in the oral competition for a PhD this year in the CO6 community. So, as you can see, I don't have much conclusions here to do, and I just started, so I'm starting to work with that, and so far we could address is the issues that we have, and I'm start to work and move forward to see if we can come with better recommendations to Oklahoma. So I'm gonna just simply do a summary here of my points. So it is unclear that summer cover crops decrease with yield. However, no yield improvements were found so far, short term. In the short term, cover crops tend to decrease the system resilience to drought. Grazing cover crops might be a promising practice to alleviate soil water using during summer. And finally, adapting cover crops for alleviating short-term pitfalls is necessary for achieving the long-term benefits. And for now, questions are welcome.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Alex. We have about a minute of questions for Alex, and then we'll open it up for a question and answer, I think, with all the speakers in the discussion. So does anybody have a quick question for Alex?
That's pretty much, so the question is, instead of putting a summer cover crop there, why we don't use wheat that can have an extended season, right? That was the question. I'm unaware about any winter wheat that can go longer than that. We have forage types and grain types. And as I show, we have a window for seeding, and we are going to seed the wheat for forage earlier so we can have more production of during fall for grazing. And we plant the grain a little late because we want to avoid evapotranspiration, because we don't need to produce that bunch of leaf. We just need that the plant come up for vernalization. And I am not aware of any wheat that can go further, you know, and get inside of the summer. Now, something that had that Jason Warren had proposed is that we have the winter wheat in rotation with Milo. So that's a way that we can have wheat after Milo, and so we come with a very late cover crop. We come with the wheat, and after we come with a very late cover crop, and this we don't need to kill chemically. This is going to be just when the temperatures come down, and so in the next year we're not going to have the wheat. And so in the next spring we plant Milo, and after he turned to the wheat. So that's what he's seeing so far. If you're not thinking about grazing, that could be profitable. But this is still is research going on. So I'm not aware about any wheat that we can go that far.